From WFSU Public Media, welcome to a very special edition of Perspectives. We are live in Mexico Beach, Florida, the point of landfall for Category 5 Hurricane Michael 1 year ago today. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you for joining us on radio. We are also streaming online, and we are also peering via delayed broadcast on WFSU-TV. Now, in contrast to our usual program format, beyond the fact that, to the best of our knowledge, this is the very first time we have remotely broadcast the show, we also are not taking phone calls today, purely due to the technical challenges inherent in doing a program like this away from our home studio back in Tallahassee. So let's first meet the panel who will be sharing their thoughts and experiences and expertise with us in the course of the next hour. And let me start to my left and your right if you're watching us either on TV or via Facebook Live. We have Florida State Representative Jay Trumbull, Republican from Panama City. So good to see you,
thank
sir.
Thank you very much for having me today.
And thank you so much for coming. Right next door, we have Al Cathy, the mayor of Mexico Beach. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you for having us. Thank you for being here.
And it is so wonderful to have you here too, sir. Thank you. We know how busy you have been. Right next to you is Missy Harkus, who is with Jackson County Angels. She's a community organizer for Jackson and Calhoun counties, even though we are here in Bay County. Missy, thanks for coming.
Thank you for having us.
And 1 year ago today, we heard a lot from the next guy that we're going to introduce to you. He is Jeff Huffman, Florida Public Radio Emergency Network meteorologist, who kept us informed and up to the moment throughout the entire warp and woof of Hurricane Michael. And Jeff, so good to see you in the flesh and not just whispering in our headphones during this thing. A lot of changes in the past year, but the one thing that I guess changed more than anything else was the re-guesstimation of how intense Hurricane Michael actually was. We were saying strong Category 4 a year ago when we were actually seeing landfall with the storm. That's since been revised. What happened?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Tom. At this moment, 1 year ago today, the storm was still intensifying, and it was only about, it was less than 2 hours away from landfall. So that's something that doesn't happen very often when a hurricane is actually intensifying all the way up until landfall. And the difference between the wind speed at landfall versus what they have reanalyzed it as is rather small. Most of us probably won't know the difference. I don't think anybody would know the difference between 155, 160. The hurricane hunters data, radar data, there was certainly a reclassification of the storm. And that's happened before in history. It happened with Hurricane Andrew in 1992. That was later assessed as a Category 5. So, yes, 1 year ago today, it was still about an hour out from making landfall, and it was still intensifying on its way in.
Al Cathy, mayor of Mexico Beach, at exactly 1 year ago today, what were you doing? What was going through your mind also?
1 year ago today, I was in my home. I stayed during the storm. Had no idea that we were going to be faced with a Category 5 storm at that time. We lost power about 10 o'clock. I waited too late to leave because late Wednesday, it was just a floundering 3. It really escalated during the night. I had no idea what our city would be facing where I could see Thursday morning. I had no earthly idea that 75% of our city would be destroyed.
And in the months, the 12 months intervening since then, you look around, you still see devastation, but you also see a lot of rebuilding and reconstruction that's going on now.
Oh, yes. We're up to over 40 new building permits, meaning new construction. We've cleaned up a lot. We still have more to clean up, but our spirits are strong here, and we will return to what Mexico Beach used to be. It's going to take a while, but our quality of life here is at a level that people will not, we won't accept anything less than what we had.
Well, it wasn't just here, the point of landfall at Mexico Beach, Florida, that took a real smack in the mouth from this storm. Panama City, as opposed to Panama City Beach, which in some strange twist of fate was spared a lot of the intensity of the storm. Panama City proper took a major hit. And Representative Trumbull, that is your hometown. How bad was it for you?
It was the scariest thing I have ever experienced. But to your point about that demarcation line between Panama City and Panama City Beach is really remarkable, which it's been very helpful to the economy in Bay County specifically for us to be able to lean on some of those tourism-driven dollars that we have. But you know, I was in the Cove, is a little neighborhood of where I live in Panama City. And we had gone to a friend's house who has something that most people in Northwest Florida don't have, which is a basement, and thought we would go ride it out there. My daughter was a year and a half, and my wife was 7 months pregnant at the time. So we were obviously very, very scared. And when the ceiling started falling in from trees hitting the house, you know, we didn't know what the next few hours were gonna really gonna look like, you know, and for our immediate experiences, as well as, you know, what the rest of our community would look like. And when we came out after that storm, I'll never forget that walk from that house we were staying to my home that we live in, and then obviously never forget being able to see the rest of our community, you know, shortly after that, a day later when we could get out of the neighborhood. So you know, I never want to experience anything like that again. I can't imagine, Mayor, what y'all went through here in Mexico Beach with not only just the wind, but the crazy storm surge. One thing we didn't experience was the eye wall. I was just to the west of the eye wall. And so the stories I've heard about that have been kind of amazing.
It's one of the things I don't ever want to see again. But when I'm a 66-year resident of Mexico Beach, and when I saw I just never thought 3 hours could be so devastating. I never, like I said, I've been through a lot of storms, but I knew within 30 minutes after the outer band started coming in, that this was a different storm than I had ever experienced. The pressure was unbelievable in our house. You could hear it. Your ears were popping, and what we saw, that's the longest walk of my life. Thursday morning, when I could walk down 98 and. It was also the saddest day.
Yeah.
And even to this day, perhaps one of the more substantial buildings here in Mexico Beach, the El Governor Hotel, which is just a couple blocks down the street from where we're doing this broadcast right now, it looked like it was a remnant from a nuclear attack. It literally blew out the entire interior of that building and just left the concrete main structure standing.
That's right.
And it's now being reconstructed, too. But while there was so much attention here on the coast, of course, you go a little bit inland, and the conventional wisdom, Jeff Huffman, is that the storm is going to dissipate. It gets over land. It loses its fuel. Boom. It starts to deteriorate. Michael didn't do that.
Right. It's a reminder that it's been a while since a hurricane has done that in the United States. Charlie is a good example, 2004. But when a storm is that strong, and usually the strong storms are tightly wound, actually the interior of a hurricane is very stable. It's a very stable engine moving ashore. You drive up and down I-10, even yesterday on my way in, you still see all the trees snapped. You know, up communities even into Georgia experienced hurricane-force winds. Maybe our listeners and viewers from the Tallahassee area should note that for future events. Residents in, say, Jacksonville, Gainesville, or Ocala, even if a storm is coming from the West Coast, it can still impact the East Coast. Another example of how the ferocious core of a hurricane can move that far inland. Certainly something that I will take away from this storm.
And because it did that, it got up into Jackson and Calhoun counties and Missy Harkis. That is where you, a Jacksonville lady, transplanted into this neck of the woods, suddenly found herself having a lot more responsibility than probably you had bargained for when you moved here.
Right. The year before we moved here, we opened our house to all the victims that were evacuating from the hurricane that was happening the year before. And then we're sitting in a situation where we're in the rural area, our country farmland, and we all of a sudden, we're holding our door shut. My husband's a combat vet, and he's holding the door shut as water is shutting in, as we're going through around the house, watching the trees just fall down. We have 7 acres. We lost almost all of our trees. $400,000 worth of damage. I had a seven-year-old. You know, it was very terrifying when the eye came through and it cleared up for a minute. We were able to try to close barns and stuff, and we just had to run back in. And we literally, being a military wife, I got hedge scissors and cut myself out of our driveway with hedge scissors just to get to the road. And, you know, feeding our neighbors through woods just to get them food until we were able to. And that's what started 3 weeks after the storm. We started forming this organization and giving back to Jackson County.
Because so what kind of other things have you been doing with Jackson County Angels as far as getting relief into those counties?
Within the first few weeks, we got, say, Representative Drake on board. He was sending farm share. He was bringing Sunnies out there. We have been doing food giveaways ever since. We fed 300 people for Thanksgiving because no one had homes. So we went to every store that was still, that opened, reopened. We got food, was able to feed them at Trinity Powerhouse. And then the next thing we did, Christmas, 350 kids, the parents still got to be Chris Santa. We had bags full of toys and were able to give every kid 3 to 5 toys each with Santa and workshop and everything. And then we still yesterday, again, I mean, we have no grocery store, no gas station. Our people can't just walk to the closest store. They have no transportation. All the jobs are gone. All the businesses aren't reopening. We don't have the regrowth out there. And we have all the rural communities. And I did the drive-through with the rebuild of Jackson County and Calhoun County. And I did a lot of pictures through the dirt roads. And these people still didn't know about some of the benefits that we do have, that Chipola Baptist Association that is trying to help rebuild these houses. But the problem is we have 85% that's uninsured, 80% under poverty, and 70% elderly. What are we supposed to do? We can't stop. We have to keep building food. Yesterday, 250 cars went through our line, and we fed them all fresh food, vegetables, hot meals, and they waited up to 3 to 4 hours just to get food. That's how bad it is. In 2 hours, we served 250 cars. We've done up to 400 in 2 hours.
Well, Representative Trumbull, you, as you already talked about, realize the intensity of this storm's impact on your area. In just a little bit, your compadre from the House, Representative Jason Shaw from District 7, will be joining us, too, to talk about what happened with him down in Port St. Joe, which is his hometown. But so many folks are saying, well, wasn't this something that FEMA was supposed to handle, or state emergency management, or somebody, anybody, instead of folks like Missy? They're going out with friends and neighbors and trying to bring people back to at least some semblance of normalcy here.
Yeah, you know, most people understand this, but it becomes very apparent after something as significant as Hurricane Michael. But government does not work very fast. And we did not have a special session specifically for Hurricane Michael, where there had been special sessions in the past. But regardless, you know, the state got to work as quickly as possible. You know, as you look at the affected area as a whole, all but Bay County, all the counties but Bay County in the Hurricane Michael affected area, as well as Leon, are fiscally constrained, which means that the state will pick up the bill on all of that stuff. Now, the issue is, within Bay County, you have cities that you know, don't have the financial wherewithal to be able to weather such a storm. And the way FEMA works on debris pickup specifically is that you have to pay the bill and then they reimburse it. Obviously, Mayor Kathy can speak to this much more clear than I can, but, you know, take from Mexico Beach's example, you had $60 million in debris bills, and that's not all completed yet, correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
With a $3 million annual budget. And so how do you afford to pick up all of that stuff? How does, you know, so the state tried to come in a little bit and create sort of stopgap funding. But it really took groups like Michael's Angels, a group out of Panama City, Missy's group, you know, and a lot of individuals, neighbors helping neighbors. We really saw the very best of people post-storm. Really was truly amazing to watch just folks deserved it, but didn't want any accolades, that came out and worked just tireless hours, you know, 14, 15-hour days to help cut trees off of folks' houses, to get them food, to get them water. I mean, it was really amazing to see, but, you know, we're still waiting on FEMA, on real FEMA reimbursement for for a lot of things, and that's what takes a lot of time to see a community rebuild, because the main infrastructure is damaged, but you have to get the debris out first, and you're spending so much money on that. Mayor, I think it'd be important for you to talk about some of the constraints associated with that.
I can certainly do that. I've had 8 or 9 months of dealing with FEMA. Never before have I ever been involved in any type of government programs for disaster relief. I really thought after Michael left and we gathered our thoughts and our needs, that there would be boxes to check and blanks to fill in that would service Mexico Beach's needs. But instead, the FEMA program is sort of etched in stone. It is very, very difficult and time-consuming and tedious and requires mountains of documentation and methodology and to get something obligated. It has been probably the most frustrating thing that I've ever dealt with. We're here because of our city and our citizens' resiliency. We're not here because FEMA came in and made it easier for Mexico Beach. Now that may sound critical of FEMA, but our needs are at a level that we have to have what I call expedited funding. Well, FEMA doesn't, that word's not in their vocabulary. They don't use expedited anything. So we have, we're breathing through a snorkel financially, but we are, through the state's help, Governor DeSantis's help, DEM's help, Jared Mockowitz and his group have sort of thrown us a lifeline that we're, as you say, getting by. But it is extremely difficult for a mayor and a city council that has a $3 million budget, 35-member workforce, again, smallest community, least amount of financial support, and the heaviest devastated. Very, very difficult path to spend your pennies very wisely. We have drained our staff physically in the attempt to provide all of the documentation that is required. And like I told them at one of the last meetings, and I said it sort of lightly, but I meant it, that don't ask us any more questions. We don't have any more answers. We've played our hand, so to speak. We're all in. We did get a $20 million obligation last week, and we're supposed to get that money for debris pickup this week. Today's Thursday. I'm hoping that we see it. We need it desperately bad.
Well, and you got another deadline coming up, I see here, from Volunteer Florida, which is handling some of the FEMA paperwork. Yes. And all. They've announced about a $6.5 million funding to help folks like Mexico Beach come back from Hurricane Michael. But the deadline for the paperwork's tomorrow, so I hope you're working on that there.
I hope we are, too.
But, Missy, it throws more of the onus back on organizations, volunteer organizations like you, the former House Speaker Benz and 850 Rebuild, and all of these organizations to kind of pick that up and take care of things until those resources arrive from the feds.
Right. We've been counting on Chipola Baptist Association. Our thing is we need more people to come in and want to volunteer, get their hands dirty, to help to rebuild these homes that aren't insured. We've got thousands of trailers sitting at our Marianna Airport, FEMA trailers that belong to Bay County, and we can't even get a hold of them. We can't use them for ours. So we're telling our residents, contact your congressman, contact your state representative. We can't touch those. They've been sitting out there for a year, and we have people that are living in tents, and we can't help them. And so our hands are tied just as well as y'all's are with FEMA. We have 2,000 kids that are still homeless. We have, 800 homes that still have roofs. They still have trees on their roofs. And they're still living in these condemned mold homes because there's no other housing. They don't have insurance. There's not jobs. It's really a sad, sad situation when you have a mother contact you that's pregnant and she's living off of bread alone.
Something that is also scary, Jeff Huffman, and that is that we could have another hurricane, Michael. Is this the new normal now, these stronger, more tightly wound storms, or was this an aberration, a one-off?
Well, it's a very difficult question to answer, especially, and I want to obviously be sensitive to those in this area who just experienced that, but a Category 5 storm or a major hurricane is not necessarily abnormal. That particular hurricane, Michael, we're talking about, did move a little further north than anything else has moved at that strength in the Gulf of Mexico. It certainly was a historic storm here in the Panhandle. Literally 1 year ago at this time, I just wanted to read from the National Hurricane Center that, you know, they issued a special update right after their 10 a.m. update. At 10:30, they found winds of 150 miles an hour, and the pressure continued to fall. So, once again, the fact that the storm was still intensifying minutes before landfall is something that we have not seen very often. Generally speaking, one or two out of 10 hurricanes will reach landfall at their strongest point. So, this, you know, most hurricanes do weaken before landfall, at least somewhere, in the United States, especially north of this latitude. But when you say the new normal, I think, yes, hurricanes are stronger at different parts of the world. Yes, the storm surge was something historic. The wind was historic. Unfortunately, this one hit land and it hit Mexico Beach. So you have to factor in all those other factors to the equation. But hopefully we will never see one like this again, hit land or hit a populated area. Certainly, this one was at the top tier of what has been history of hurricanes hitting land in the United States.
But certainly, Florida being Florida and the way we stick out there into the Caribbean basin, that kind of puts that target on our back.
Yeah, thankfully, there are no threats in the tropics. I just wanted to add that to put in everybody's mind, everybody at the table finally relaxed a bit.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I would say we're not out of the woods yet, as they say. We still have a couple more weeks to watch things, but we're sitting here this morning on a beautiful morning. I can't imagine, though, I just wanted to add this because I'm not from this area, but it seems like I just heard a drill, heard some chainsaws. I mean, it just seemed like that you hear that every day in these areas. The recovery is long and difficult, and I just can't imagine. But thankfully, I can provide some good news that we're not tracking anything right now.
And for that, we are grateful, Jeff Huffman.
Right.
Thanks so much. Representative Trumbull, since Bay County was the larger metropolitan county to experience Hurricane Michael, and you've seen the aftermath of that. One out of eight kids in the school system are no longer there, so your state funding for education is going to go down. The ongoing wrestling that people were doing with the insurance industry, all of those kinds of things. What can you bring to the upcoming legislative session to maybe provide some relief or at least some options for folks in your district?
So last session, we focused on looking at those specific issues. So as it related to school funding, we put some money in to make sure that, not to add insult to injury and say, I'm sorry, Ms. Smith, third grade teacher, that you lost your home. Now you have to lose your job because 20% of your students, are now gone. So we wanted to make sure that we put some money in there. The school board is going to ask for not the same amount of funding, because we have had some people, since housing has started to come back a little bit, we've had people move back into town, and so we don't have nearly the population loss that we had before. So that is very good. So we'll come back and ask for some funding in the future, for next session. The other thing is, we are going to look as it relates to, all these different cities in the county, specifically the ones that are not fiscally constrained in Bay, in where the state can step up and help. Whether that's through a housing program, which we did last year, put about $110 million specifically to housing. But one thing that was incredibly beneficial, I think, was Florida Housing put forward a $5 million program. It was a grant program, not a loan. It was a grant program that gave down payment assistance, up to $15,000 for a down payment assistant. And that helped a little less than 350 families. And when you think about that, it doesn't seem like a large number, but that's 350 families that are going to stay in our community rather than leave and go somewhere else. You know, one thing that we are running up quickly against is the upcoming census. And that comes out in April. And the sooner that we are able to get people back in our community and Missy's community so that we aren't negatively affected by the reduction in population, for this will affect us for 10 years. So we have to make sure that we get housing back and people back to work and stabilized and so that once that census comes out, and it's just bad timing is really all it is, but once that census comes out, that we aren't negatively affected by federal dollars for the next 10 plus years.
Okay, and also the impact on, of course, tax revenues in mm-hmm. that area, because that helps drive the recovery more than just about anything else.
Yeah, and when you look just to the west of us, where we're sitting today, is Tyndall Air Force Base, which represents about 33% of Bay County's economy. And just real one quick tidbit, as the mayor talked about the pressure change as the eye wall went over, and Jeff, you could probably speak to this, but I did a tour about a week after the storm at Tyndall, and a lot of civilian vehicles were still there, people who had evacuated. The vast majority of those vehicles had flat tires. So you ask the question, why is that? That's because the pressure change was so severe, apparently, that it blew the tires out. You think about that. I mean, that's not only for tires, it's windows of buildings and all these other things. But going back to the economy, we've got to get Tyndall built. And so thankful that the president and the vice president have been here. So thankful that Congress finally approved a disaster supplemental, and that we're going to get real military construction dollars coming to Tyndall Air Force Base to get that base built up for the base of the future, to get the economy back rolling. They're talking $4 billion over 5 years. That's a lot of money for a community our size, for a community any size. But to have that infusion back in this part of the world is going to be extremely beneficial in seeing the rebirth of the east side of Bay County, whether that's Callaway, Springfield, or Parker, Mexico Beach, going into Representative Shoaf's area in Port St. Joe and the rest of Gulf County. That's going to be incredibly important to see those rebuild dollars programmed very fast to get that this place up and going. But I tell you what, if you drive back over into Bay County, there is I would task you with finding a single business that's not hiring, and all of that I believe relates to not having efficient housing or sufficient housing, to be able to house the potential workforce that we so desperately need.
Yeah, and especially the workforce that will be part of that reconstruction. You could bring in a lot more crews if they had a place to live.
Correct.
But they're the ones who are going to have to build those houses where they live.
Chicken or the egg type of scenario. We have to have the housing so that we can get the people to build the housing, which is an interesting phenomenon. Believe full well that we'll be able to weather this, and it's no quick turnaround by any stretch. But very thankful of the fact that we've got the commitment to rebuild Tyndall, that we have great tourism to the west of us in Panama City Beach and other places, and that there are people willing to rebuild in a community that was devastated. The other thing you asked about was insurance. We've seen articles after articles talking about the people really being taken advantage of as it relates to insurance, whether that be through admitted or non-admitted carriers. I appreciate the fact that CFO Petronas's office has been very diligent in making sure that dollars are moved out of the insurance company and into the policyholders' hands. But it's terribly sad when you drive down here and you see empty slabs and you talk to these people and they say, well, my insurance company said that this was a wind event or a water event or vice versa, and they gave me $3,000, and you literally see nothing but concrete. You know, how's that supposed to help that person? Knowing that that person has been paying their policies on time, or excuse me, premiums on time for the last 35 years living in this home. They should be due what they've been paid and not be, you know, for lack of a better term, jacked around by their carrier.
Can I add to that for you?
Yes, ma'am.
Our attorney that actually is in Bay County that we hired, I spoke with him this morning. He said that their challenges with the insurance companies is there's only two judges that are accepting cases in Bay County for the insurance carriers, and then they're granting the insurance carriers extensions, so that's pushing the homeowners off even more. And a year after, like, we had to take out the SBA loan for our homeowners. So that's what he said some of the challenges are in the courthouses are they don't have enough time to see all these cases to get these people the money.
And even former Speaker Benz was having some trouble with his carrier, from what I understand.
Yeah. So. You know, we put some money in the budget this last session for a retired judge, and I believe Judge Costello is the one that Bay County is able to use right now, but it's still not enough. And we do, with the significant uptick in claims and the burden that places on, you know, the judges and the rest of the court system. You know, this upcoming session is going to be one where we ask for another circuit judge. And thankfully, last year the Supreme Court they go in and they say we'd like to have another judge in a particular area, and they picked Bay County as the 14th Judicial Circuit, which it covers Bay County last year. So we'll go back this upcoming session and ask for a full-time judge in that position.
Much to be done. You are listening to a very special edition of Perspectives from WFSU Public Media, not only on the radio, but also on Facebook Live and tonight on WFSU TV. I'm Tom Flanagan. We are broadcasting live from Mexico Beach, Florida, the point of landfall for Hurricane Michael exactly 1 year ago today. Tonight, a night to unite between 6 and 8 o'clock at the Tommy Oliver Stadium. That's on East 14th Street in Panama City. All kinds of entertainment, food provided by Mercy Chefs. And I know Representative Jay Trumbull, you're going to be part of the entertainment tonight.
Yes, sir. I won't be singing, though.
We'll hold you
or
to that
dancing.
Promise, sir. Representative Trumbull, thanks for joining the panel
yes,
today. All the best on the recovery, and we'll see you during the legislative
Thank
session.
Thank you for having me. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
And we will continue our perspectives on WFSU Public Media. Slipping into the chair here in lieu of Representative Trumbull, and thank you again, sir, so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Is going to be Representative Jason Schoaf from District 7. He has the hometown of Port St. Joe, which was also kind of struck more than a glancing blow by that storm that came here one year ago. And while he's getting set up, we want to give Jeff Huffman again an opportunity for the benefit of folks who might be just joining us on the radio to talk about. Again, we are now almost at we are at 10:30 Central Time. Jeff, what was going on with Hurricane Michael 1 year ago?
Well, it became apparent, Tom, that this was going to be a catastrophe or a catastrophic event. That word has been used a lot lately. It certainly rings true in this particular case. Hurricane Michael 1 year ago today was sitting about 40 to 50 miles the center of the eye, just offshore. And at this time, the storm surge had already reached 5 to 7 feet along this coastline right behind us. Winds had already been gusting over 100 miles per hour at Tyndall Air Force Base. And it came ashore as at the time, a Category 4 storm, and it was still intensifying when it came ashore. Michael is an example. We don't have very many of these in history, but it's a reminder that the worst can still happen on land, on a coastline. I don't have to tell anybody else on this panel that, but maybe those that are listening or watching from locations that were not affected, it's a reminder that this can happen, and it has now recently happened. I just wanted to personally add, in the year since Michael, I think some of the most effective communication in hurricanes for someone who might experience a hurricane is from these people right here between you and I. The mayor, someone who's lived through it, someone who handles recovery as well, telling those stories one by one, I feel like is the most important way and most effective way we can help others who might ever be in harm's way or might be in danger of experiencing a hurricane. I can only do so much. We can only do so much from the microphone or from the weather studio. But I know that when I, you know, visit this area, and I do often, hearing someone else's story, whether it be the server at my dinner table or someone checking me out at a grocery store, hearing those stories, I know make an impact. So I hope that my colleagues here along the panel and anybody else listening or watching continues to never hold back on telling those stories, because I believe it's more effective than whatever we can do from the weather studio to say, hey, you got to evacuate, or hey, you have to, you know, strengthen your home. Hearing it firsthand really means a lot.
Jeff Huffman, meteorologist for the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network, headquartered in Gainesville. And we say hi to one of Port St. Joe's finest, Representative Jason Shove, who won a special election when your predecessor, Halsey Beshears, got himself another job in Tallahassee. So congratulations on that, sir, and welcome. You were at home when this happened a year ago.
Yes, first off, thanks for having me on here. I appreciate the opportunity to share my story and our perspective. A lifelong resident of Gulf County, born and raised here, and I'm raising my children now here. The special election came about really just after the storm went through, and before that, I had no interest in politics. I wasn't following it. I wasn't wasn't campaigning. I was running our Get Natural Gas company. And I tell you, as the storm bore down on the Gulf Coast, as a lifelong resident here, we never had a direct impact like this. And the ones that had hit us usually were weakening, or I think Category 3 at the most I could remember. We did not think that it was going to be anything like this. We were scrambling to prepare at the last evening, really. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons that I have to share with other folks is when you see a big storm coming, when your meteorologists are forecasting these major events, please prepare, plan ahead. There are things you can do that will really not only save your life, but make your life much easier after the storm passes.
Yeah, and on the flip side of Hurricane Michael, I know Jared Moskowitz, the Director of Emergency Management for the state of Florida, updated his Get a Plan advisory from 3 days of supplies to 7. Hmm. So that certainly made an impact, I think, on future planning that we're going to have to do for these sorts of things. So you heard your colleague from the House, from Bay County, Representative Trumbull, talk about some of the things he has planned for the upcoming session. What's on your plate? What would you like to see occur?
Well, as far as hurricane recovery, our number one, and I think Representative Trumbull really knocked it out of the park last year in getting millions for affordable housing, workforce housing. That is our number one issue. In fact, it was our number one issue before the storm came through. Economic development requires both affordable housing and vocational training, career and technical training, both of those in order to bring in jobs. So after the storm, now we need that housing more than ever just to house the different builders, different businesses that are coming in to help us rebuild and recover. So it's a double-edged sword, and we're catching it on both sides right now.
It seems as though we are one of the more popular gathering spots in town, Representative and Mr. Mayor, because we have another member of the panel who has just joined us, and she is Nikki Freed. She is the Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services for the state of Florida, who just pulled up and popped on in. And Commissioner, good to see you.
Good seeing you, too. I didn't even expect this. We were just driving around and kind of visiting the area today, obviously the one-year anniversary, and just saw you guys. So this is totally not planned, but thanks for having me.
Well, again, Mayor Kathy, you see how much clout you have? You just bring them on in here.
We need them all. Welcome to Mexico Beach.
Well, thank you.
Well, Commissioner Fried, while you're here, just folks, when we look at the devastation, particularly in the heavily agricultural area here of Northwest Florida, as we were on our way in, we saw some really devastated cotton fields. The timber industry here has been decimated beyond belief. A lady in your office was out touting the glories of hemp growing last week during a conference in Tallahassee. So you are going to be pretty involved in this recovery effort too, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we have been since day one out here. And you're right, agriculture has been devastated. It was a $1.7 billion hit on agriculture. 1.5 of that was the timber industry. The peanut industry, almost 90% devastation, the peanut industry, and obviously cotton. So we have been fighting tooth and nail up in D.C., getting that disaster package actually passed in Congress, and making sure that timber was actually included, because timber is not considered a crop in traditional USDA standards. So making sure that timber was actually considered part of the package was essential for the rebuilding. And now we've actually presented the grant program to the USDA. Hopefully we'll get a word back in the next couple of weeks, and so getting those federal dollars. But yeah, the devastation, I mean, as we even drove in this morning, I mean, seeing all the timber that's down, it's 72 million tons. People can't even grasp what that means and what that looks like. You know, 2 million truckloads is what it would take to actually haul everything out. And just the devastation, second, third, fourth generations of timber, people's life savings, people's college funds, all on the ground, and no, you know, relief in sight. So we've been fighting really hard to make sure that we are here every step of the way for rebuilding. And you're right, we passed hemp during this legislative session. And while we are encouraging everybody to reforest, because that is the industry, that is the livelihood of this community, that's where the jobs were and that's are. So we're encouraging everybody to reforest, but in the meanwhile, giving them alternatives like hemp is really going to be something that's going to be essential for the rebuilding.
Forest products is a 15 to 20 year cycle.
Absolutely.
That's going to be a while. Missy Harkus in Jackson and Calhoun counties, many farm families you've been working with as part of that relief effort that you've been doing with Jackson County Angels?
Absolutely. We're right in the middle of farm town. The only traffic we get is if we have a tractor trailer in the front of us. So we see it. It looked like snow right after the storm. All of the crops were just everywhere. And we just started seeing people pull up peanuts. And this is the first time that we've been releasing crops come up since the storm. Cotton's starting to grow, which is good. So, but the thing is that we are small, you know, we are a small farming area, and people forget about us. We had a direct hit. We had 155 mile an hour winds, and we've kind of feel like we've been forgotten because we're not Panama City. We're not, you know, or Mexico Beach. So we are just sitting out there, and we're getting taken advantage by a lot of people that are promising things that are not coming through. And so.
Well, let's talk to Mayor Kathy on how you see the recovery of your area coming along, because with the delays in payments from FEMA, all that sort of thing, I mean, there's always lots of finger pointing that you can do at a time like this. But for your most immediate need, what do you got to have?
Well, I want to backtrack just a second. I don't want my comments about FEMA to be poor me. That's just a fact of life. Mexico Beach is going to recover, and we're going to do whatever it takes to get our city back. It may be slowed up by that, but the recovery process is ongoing as we speak. And I'm very proud of our community in the last year. We've come a long way, and that comes from just pride of people helping people. It's been said by most everyone at this panel, but that's the most inspirational thing that I have experienced, is people that we don't know who stopped here to help somebody. And there's been many of those. Some, maybe a group of three, maybe a group of 20, but it could be a meal, it could be a prayer, it could be a, can I help you fix your roof? It has really been, for a small community like Mexico Beach, to see the recovery that the stage we're in today has come from a vast group of people. And I'm more interested in being thankful for what we have instead of what we may not have or had. We have a great town. We're unique. warm, friendly, charming coastal community, and that's what we want to return to. And I think the recovery process here has been, I didn't know how long it would take. I honestly didn't. I didn't know. But it's pretty clear after a year that it's going to be a 3 to 5 year process for us. And when I say that, I think driving through town, it'll take 3 to 5 years to notice the new things instead of the things that are missing. So the recovery, thanks to our citizens, to our property owners, to our city staff, and government is government. And there's nobody at this table going to change that, and that's just the way it is, and we'll live with that, and we'll make the best of it.
Sounds like Thanksgiving comes early in Mexico Beach.
Absolutely.
Mr. Mayor. But Representative Shoaf, I have to ask you to think that our good friend Ron Sachs did a survey of perception statewide and came back just this past week with a kind of a distressing picture that once you kind of get past the intersection of I-10 and I-75, Florida kind of goes, what hurricane? What are you talking about? Well, we didn't see no hurricane. And that is some help, like the mayor and Missy and Commissioner Fried have been saying. You tap some more Floridian help capability here, and maybe we could speed up the recovery a little bit.
Absolutely. And not just Floridians, but the rest of our country as well. There is good and bad with the way that we are here in North Florida. The good part is that we care tremendously about other people. North Florida, you'll find the type of people that come from North Florida are the first to help. They're the first to raise money for other areas of the country and the state when there's a disaster. They're the first to go and volunteer in the Bahamas after the storm hit there recently. But with that comes a sense of self-sufficiency where we don't, not everyone, but a lot of us don't like to ask for help. We don't like to go out and say, woe is me. We're used to picking ourselves back up. This, unfortunately, was too large of a hit for us to pick ourselves back up. And we are heavily dependent on not just the state, but the rest of our nation to step up, take a look, come visit us, come down, come stay in Mexico Beach, St. Joe Beach. You know, come drive through our farm country and buy wood products from the folks that work at the paper mills in North Florida. Any way that you can, come help us out.
And Commissioner Fried, it seems as though, and I know you work very closely with the Office of the Attorney General on this too, but you are involved in consumer services. And in the wake of any natural disaster, there is always the possibility of fraud and all kinds of terrible things happening to people here. We didn't seem to have a great deal of that after Hurricane Michael.
Yeah, you know, we said that after Dorian. I mean, you saw the Attorney General and myself all over all the media resources that we have a zero tolerance. You know, it just breaks my heart the fact that people would take advantage when people are already suffering, that the thought that somebody would come out there and make it worse is just not tolerable. And so we did not see as much of it. We saw a little bit on some price gouging. We saw a little bit on some of the water aspects, but not to even the extent that we saw, you know, the potential during Dorian. But we have been very clear that we have zero tolerance for any consumer fraud. And the same thing, we're also working with our CFO on insurance issues. We know that there are still 250,000 claims out there. That's not acceptable either. And so we have to be all of us working together. And you know, government tries to step up and tries to, you know, to help in making sure that during a time like this, that we are here and making sure that when people are already, you know, working so hard to rebuild their lives, that they're not being taken advantage of. And I couldn't just echo more what the mayor was saying earlier. We've been here all morning and talking to so many of the great folks who have reopened their stores, and it's the inspiration and this Mexico Beach is open. And for everybody who's listening, and I say the same story all across the state of Florida, to make sure that people are understanding of what happened here, but the resiliency and the fight of wanting to rebuild, of being 850 strong, is out here. And I just cannot tell you enough that how excited I am to be here today and to talk to so many people who have the hope that Mexico Beach is open and running and wanting people. I see construction crews everywhere of hotels and restaurants, and condos and apartments, and really want to encourage people. The beaches are beautiful, and to come out and make sure that you're spending your dollars here in Mexico Beach.
Now, I'll tell Danny Young at Visit Florida, you just gave a really, really nice plug. Okay. Well, Miss Harkus, again, since so many folks don't pop off of I-10 and come up on 90 and see what's going on in Marianna and the surrounding area, since that has always been one of North Florida's most gorgeous downtowns, those old brick buildings, the Mediterranean style of the post office. It is a magnificent. How's the reconstruction going in Marianna?
Not very good. We still have the buildings that crumbled down. We still, our courthouse, the second floor, is still not ready. We're having to move stuff all around. So it's slowly, but a lot of the people aren't rebuilding because they haven't been able to get financing or approval, or they've left the area, they've shut their doors. So, but you know, the good thing is that we are farmland. We are, you know, without our area, you know, our tomatoes, our corn, our, you know, our cotton, where would we be without that? And so those are the people we have to protect, even on the dirt roads that right now they can't get through because we still have debris. We're still fighting with, we don't have anybody to cut our grass on the side of the roads right now because all the service that we had, their equipment was getting destroyed from all the debris. So we still it looks like a hurricane still came through a lot of these small areas, and it's pitiful when you just see a whole house tarped up and there literally no power, no electricity, and they have a generator out there and a grill, and that's still how they're living.
Yeah, the microphones with which we're doing this program are extremely directional, so they're picking us up more than anything else. But if you listen very carefully in between the statements, you can hear the sound of reconstruction that's going on right down the street from us as the back haulers back up and you hear the beep, beep, beeps, and there's a lot of activity that's going on there.
We've been blessed with a lot of people that, like you said, you know, that's came in and helped us, has dropped off food. I mean, we did 250 yesterday. I mean, we couldn't do it without the support of other organizations, nonprofit, bringing us food in and still helping to try to rebuild these things. But we just need supplies to be able to rebuild these homes.
Well, for anyone who would, and we'll give you an opportunity to get in a plug here, if folks want to donate household items or whatever you guys need to get out to the folks who are still in bad straits, Missy, what should they do?
The best thing to do is Chipola Baptist Association, that's ahead of the rebuild of Jackson and Calhoun County. They're taking all supplies. We need roofing supplies. We need painters. We need people that want to come and get their hands dirty to rebuild homes of people that don't have insurance and have been denied by FEMA or are still withholding. So that's, you know, when I talked to Kobe Beasley, that's the president of that association, he said, that's what we need, Missy. We need people to come and get their hands dirty and give us, we need building supplies. We need tools. We need chainsaws. We need all those things to still kind of help these people.
Helping hands, gratefully accepted.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor Al Cathy of Mexico Beach, you get a final word in for whatever you want to say, sir.
All I want to say is I want to take what the Agricultural Commissioner said and push rewind. That's all I want to say.
We have the technology. We can make that happen,
there
sir.
You go. Just dub me in. And you can't say it any better. God bless you.
Panama City State Port St. Joe Representative Jason Schoaf, you get a last comment, sir.
I would just say that this is one of the finest places on earth to live. I don't say that but just because I was born and raised here, but traveling around the country, you cannot beat this part of the country. Not only our beaches and our farmland, but our people. And I recommend you come down and take a look. Come visit us. Come see what we have to offer and pitch in. Give us a hand. You never know, one day we may be the ones reaching back out to help you in your time of need.
Okay. Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services for the state of Florida, Nikki Freed, your turn, ma'am.
Yeah, I think I said it already, but I mean, just being here today, and this is not our first time out to Mexico Beach, and it will not be our last, that really the resiliency and the spirit and the soul of this town and in this area, you feel as you are walking through the streets, as you're talking to the neighbors, as you're talking to your store owners and to your restaurant establishments. And it really is so uplifting to hear the spirit of everybody that's here and know that we are behind you. We are going to continue to be here and to fight with you. This is our fight. We are here together. And again, really encouraging people. The white sand beaches are as beautiful as ever, and to come out here and to spend your time and really enjoying this part of our state.
And we will end the conversation where we began with Florida Public Radio Emergency Network meteorologist Jeff Huffman. And, sir, we hope not to hear your dulcet tones on the airwaves anytime soon.
Fair enough.
To inform us of an impending catastrophe. But in the meantime, any advice you would have for folks who are listening right now and think, oh, my Lord, when the alerts start to sound, what should we do?
Well, the alerts are going to sound again someday. There's going to be another hurricane that hits land. There's no meteorological fact or weather piece of information I could give right now that would be any helpful at all to anybody on this panel or anybody listening or watching from this area. But I will say this, you know, my colleagues also at other public media station, WUFT, did a special on mental health awareness after a storm. And I've learned just from personal experiences, I just want to use my last 30 seconds to say, telling your story really does do a lot. Telling your story of recovery, your story of survival, helps not only others understand what could happen in an event like this, but it also brings healing to those who have experienced. And so maybe someone who's listening or watching about to maybe go to lunch or dinner or just go to the grocery store, actually listening to someone else tell their story of how they survived an event like this really does help. And I just want to share that. I think, you know, we're in the Weather Center with all the data and the science and the pictures of the hurricane. But, you know, coming out here and listening to these stories really does help understand how the toll that this takes and how significant of an event this is. And then, of course, hopefully helps others in the future not only survive but recover from an event like this. And so nothing threatening in the tropics. Let's keep it that way for the next couple of weeks. And let's continue to be, you know, 850 strong. Is that what it's called? Rebuild 850 through the off season.
Before we leave, let me thank WFSU for being here.
Absolutely.
Yes,
thank you so much for coming to the city of Mexico Beach and sharing our stories.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. We appreciate that more than you know. Al Cathy, Mayor of Mexico Beach, along with Florida State Representative Jason Shove, Representative Port St. Joe. Also, earlier in the program, Florida State Representative Jay Trumbull of Panama City. Missy Harkis with Jackson County Angels, Jeff Huffman from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network, and also Nikki Freed, the Agriculture and Consumer Services Commission for the state of Florida, who popped in to say, hey, we are honored, ma'am. Thank you so much. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you for joining us on this special edition of Perspectives. Next week, we are going to be back in studio, and we will be talking about, of all things, prostate cancer. Thank you for joining us, and we will talk later next on Perspectives.